Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you today for the word. Oh, God, you are so good to us. And we love you with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And we thank you and praise you. We just praise you, Jesus, for being yourself, for loving us so. And we thank you. We are blessed beyond measure because of the word of the living God, and the blessing of the Lord is ours. Amen. Let's go right back over here where we were in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark. Now, we're talking about faith prepares for what it expects or believes will take place, will happen. Praise or faith praises before it happens. Okay. Now, this madman of Gadara, he never sleeps. He screams and carries on night and day. And that demon would come on him. That ruler of the darkness had him completely, totally possessed. Jesus called him, said, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." One spirit. Say, one spirit.
One
demon. We read in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. That ruler had him completely demon-possessed, spirit, soul, and body. He even had hold of his voice. That was that devil said. That was that devil that said with a loud voice. He saw Jesus afar off, ran and worshiped him, and cried with a loud voice, "What am I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee, my God, you torment me not." Now, I know they talk like that because I've heard them. I was with a friend of mine, first time I ran into this. Charles Rogers, Lord, I love him. He had a more experience than I did, because like I told you before, I mean, Gloria and I didn't know anything. We were scriptural illiterates when we got born again. So, and T.L. Osborne said, "Copeland, you were born free." I was okay. But he said, "You didn't have any religion to unlearn. Only thing you ever heard was faith." That's the first thing we ever heard. We had to find out about all this other. And people would say, "Well, God can't heal anymore." I thought, how stupid is that? If he ever did, you think he can't? I mean, what? I had to find out what all that unbelief was from somebody else. Anyway, he said, "What is your name?" He answered and said, now, a legion... that a Roman legion was from 3,000 to 6,000. He had one ruler of the darkness of this world possessed him. Anyway, I was with Charles, and this woman, and I was in a meeting with Charles. I was just singing there. I didn't know anything. So she said, "Would you come pray for my mother? I don't know whether she's saved or not." So he said, "Sure." Well, I went with him. Back in those days, I was way overweight. I weighed about 230 pounds. This morning, I weighed 164, so you can... Anyway, I'm just standing down here looking at the foot of the bed. Charles is right here at the side of the bed, and the woman was laying there in the bed, and then they're just standing there talking, and she sat up in that bed and looked at me and said, sick, my sick. Scared me. I mean, every hair on my body stood to attention. I just walked outside that hospital door and I thought, you big dummy. That little 75 or 80 pound woman ran you out of the room. I'll never run from another one. Never. I'll never run from another one. Then again, in Jamaica, I won't go into all the story, but this little woman, bless its heart, she, anyway, it was very, very sad. And they asked me to go by and pray for her. And I said, what's wrong with her? He said, Brother Copeland, she's mad. I said, mad? He said, uh-huh. She's crazy. I got in there, and we were back up in the mountains. I mean, there was no electricity up there where we were. And I got back in the back room there. I saw several out the front. Looked to me like they qualified. But anyway, got back there in that back room, and there she was. And just an old mattress, just an old cotton ticking mattress, no bedclothes on it or anything. And she squatted down in that bed and had a little stick and a little bandana tied around it and had everything she owned in that little bandana. I found out later that she got into a meeting and got saved. She was so thrilled. She was a waitress, and she just fell in love with Jesus. And so she got her a new dress and decided she'd go to church. So she went and had her hair fixed and had it trimmed up, you know, and she painted her fingers up real nice and went. They wouldn't let her in the door. No, you have cut your hair and look on your fingernails. You can't come into this church. There's no way Jesus loves anybody that's cut their hair and paints their fingernails. That got on her heart and mind to the point where she finally just let that devil take her over. So we walked in there. There's a man that the pastor had come with me and another man that was helping me. Walked up to that bed, and she wouldn't look up. Directly she said, you must be Brother Weber. He was a radio preacher back in those days. Good one, too. He said, no, ma'am. You must be Oral Roberts. No, ma'am, I'm not. And then I was standing right in front of her. One of them was here and two of the guys were here.
I know who you are. And you're afraid of anything that's not flesh and blood.
I said, I fear no man or no devil. And in the name of Jesus, you come out of her right now. Now, see, I didn't know that story. And I just heard the Lord say this. She's down. She finally looked up. I said, baby, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I said, I just wanted to tell you that Jesus loves you. Come on, baby, look at me. Look at me. Jesus loves you, and he sent me here to tell you how much he loves you. And her eyes came back. And I had to leave. I can hardly wait till I get to heaven and meet her for real. Anyway, the important thing here is this. Now, follow me. My name is Legion. We're many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of that country. Now, this shows you that demons are assigned and localized. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him. Now everybody there heard what that man said. They heard that. Jesus heard all of these devils. They didn't hear them. And everybody standing around there, their hair is sticking straight up. They don't know what to think. And it kind of settles down for a minute. Then they hear all of the, they don't hear all of the devils besought him. So evidently there was kind of a lull in this thing, that we may enter those swine. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake. There were about 2,000 that were drowned. 2,000 screaming hogs. Now, my grandfather used to raise 3 or 4 hogs, or 5. And they make enough noise, just 3 or 4 of them make you want to just get out of the way. They're nasty sounding there. And if you don't think, and I think back on that when I was a little boy, and we kept a 5-gallon bucket, a slop bucket, at the end of the table. And all of the leftover food, I mean, they'll eat anything that's not metal and just pour that in a slop bucket. Come on. And then you go slop the hogs. Right there it makes me, I don't want to eat slop. I don't want to eat anything that eats slop. Anyway, so now, are you ready for this? Now, the reason this frightened people so, 2,000 or so, a whole herd of pigs, hogs, obviously full-grown hogs, they were food for the Roman army. And the people that were keeping those pigs, they don't know what's going to happen to them. They may get blamed for all their food drowning in this lake. And what are we going to tell them? They ain't never going to believe what, no. And it scared everybody there. Frightened everybody in the place. Now remember, faith prepares for what it expects or believes what will happen ahead of time. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see that what was that was, they went out to see what it was that was done. They come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil. One devil. And had the legion, 3,000 to 6,000 devils. So now what does that mean? That ruler was boss over all those others. That place was so full of fear. This man had everybody in that whole region upset. He never sleeps. He must be some kind of a god. I mean, what is this guy? We have no idea what is this? Possessed with the devil and had the legion. Now, understand this, television and radio audience and class. Understand this. The devil has nothing new. He just perverted what already was. move that over to the angel forces. That's what these devils are. Fallen spirits. Huh? We know from what Jesus said, every child has an angel. We know that from what he said. Well, what makes you think when you got grown that your angel quit? No. How much time we got, Tim?
7 minutes.
Oh, perfect. I'll just turn over there and read it because I want to go right back to this. First chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all? Say all.
All.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? Sent forth to minister for them. That would include, if necessary, ministering to you because they ministered to Jesus.
Right.
Amen. I was in Beaumont, Texas, a little small meeting there. I was there for 3 weeks. And just all I knew how to do is just teach Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25 and corresponding action. And I didn't know that phrase back there then. And I'm just going along. And we had a lot of Southern Baptist people that had come over into that meeting. Little small church, but man, it was so packed out. And we were having morning classes and night classes. And in the morning time, I'm just teaching on faith. Well, there was a man that had come there, I mean, every service, and he sat right on the front row. And he was, he was just... And then all of a sudden, he wasn't there for about 3 days. And I thought to myself, wonder what happened to him? I just didn't pay attention. And went on. And then he came back to a morning service. And at night, the little building is just packed. We had people standing outside with the windows up. But in the morning, of course, it wasn't that full. And he sat right next to the door. Everybody else is up front. And I saw him back there, and I thought, well, he's back. That's good. But he's sitting there like this. That's the way he finished the service. So after the service, he came around, he said, may I speak to you? I said, yeah, please. He said, I really got mad at you. He said, because of something you said, whatever it was, wasn't all that Baptist. I don't know to this day what I said. But I probably said something about Jesus going to hell. That couldn't be. That still upsets a lot of people. But he did. If he hadn't, we would.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Spent 3 days and nights there. Anyway. And all of a sudden, he said, Brother Copeland, do you know you have an angel? Well, I knew that. That's one of the first things I heard. In fact, it was on the first tape I ever heard of Kenneth Hagin's. He read that verse in the book of Hebrews. And back there, yeah. Really? And he had gone into some of these things. He said, Brother Copeland, he is huge. I said, yeah. Yeah, he said, you know that commercial, Mr. Clean? And I said, yeah. He said, he kind of looked like him, only he was huge. And said, he was just stuck to you. And said, he was just right on top of you, just right everywhere you went. And he said, you'd kind of calm down a little bit. And said, he'd lean over there and say something, and off you'd go again. I've never seen him. But now, that picture of all those other demons working for that one ruler, they all are under the control of Satan. Mm-hmm. And the wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Oh, I wish I had time to get into all of that, because it is, it's maybe sometime. But now think about it. Every person in this room has an angel. Amen. I'll tell you something, a very, very close friend of mine, Ed Dufresne. He's in heaven today. And I still, Nancy pastors a church here in Murrieta, California. She's really close to Gloria and me. And I go out there every January preaching to her church. But now, Ed was in a building program, and he didn't have the money, and he needed $500,000, but he had to have $300,000 right now, or the bank wanted that property. It had become more valuable, and they were not going to give him any extensions, and he had to have $300,000 right now. And they just finally come to the end of it. They didn't know what they were going to do. He and his attorney, they're just walking the floor. A few days before that, Ed had gone somewhere to preach. He's in a hotel. This is back when they actually had keys. And he's dressing for the service that morning, and he hears the key in the door. And he looks, and when he turned around and looked, the ceiling had disappeared, and these two huge angels were standing there. He said, who are you? They said, we're your prosperity angels. And he just stood there. We've come to help you get that money. He said, well, what are you waiting on? And he said, the command. He said, go! They went. There was a lawyer jogging. Showed up at his office. His secretary said, there's a man out here you need to see. He said, I won't see anybody. She said, you need to see this one. He said, I've heard you preach. I don't like you. You scare me. But he still had his jogging clothes on. But he said, I just had to bring you $300,000. One of those big angels. And we're out of time. Come on, Jeremy, help us here, boy.
Thank you, Pawpaw. Let me ask you today, what are you preparing for by faith? Maybe it's related to the healing of your body. Maybe it's something financial or the restoring of relationships or protection. Maybe it's just peace of mind. Well, today we learned how faith in God expects by believing before you see it. Faith prepares for what will happen, but it prepares ahead of time. And faith praises God before the manifestation ever comes.
Richard Francis Weymouth was a noted Christian educator and linguist in the 19th century. His love for language and the Word of God led him on a quest to create a translation of the Bible without theological or denominational bias. He wanted to understand the Bible as purely as the writers intended. Once out of print, KCM has brought back to life this essential addition to every believer's biblical library, the New Testament in Modern Speech, translated by Richard Francis Weymouth. This now classic translation of the New Testament seeks to preserve the original Greek and put it into words a modern English speaker can understand. Use it as a study and reference tool to bring deeper understanding and clarity of the Word of God. The New Testament in modern speech is easy to pack and take with you anywhere. Get a fresh biblical perspective and be inspired to immerse yourself in the Word of God every day. The New Testament in Modern Speech Bible, yours free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Go to kcm.org/victory offer or call 877-615-4267 to request your free copy. Experience the New Testament in a translation by Richard Francis Weymouth to help bring accuracy and clarity to your study of God's Word. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Some years ago, Kenneth Copeland Ministries brought a special Bible translation back into print. It was written by Richard Francis Weymouth called The New Testament in Modern Speech. Now, many of you may recognize it as the Weymouth translation, but KCM is making this Bible available to you free for these 2 weeks of broadcast. This is a great resource to have. And as you may have heard Brother Copeland say yesterday, this is the Bible that he uses and where he found that wording that says faith has corresponding action. Isn't that good? As you read through this translation, you're going to enjoy greater clarity, accuracy, and insight into the Word of God. So to request your free copy of the New Testament in Modern Speech by Richard Francis Weymouth, go to kcm.org. And make plans to join us right back here on this broadcast tomorrow. Brother Copeland's going to be talking about how faith prepares ahead of time for what it believes. You don't want to miss this. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Today's Believer's Voice of Victory was brought to you by the partners and friends of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Go to kcm.org/victory offer to download or request a free copy of today's broadcast. 2021 is the year of the local church, a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery.
My experiences at KCBC over the past 2 years have been awesome. Discovering the calling and purpose and God has put in my life has been great. It's been life-changing for sure.
Over these past 2 years, there's been things that have been added to me that the Lord's going to be able to use and I will be able to put into practice.
We are being taught on how to live our life on a daily basis, every day in the Word, to just completely focus on God, and He's fulfilled everything.
Every person you meet is constantly pouring into you, whether it's your other students, whether it's faculty, pastors, everyone's constantly pouring into you, and just it's just been awesome.
This school has taught me the Word of God, and nothing can stop me. I'm ready to go out and love on people, and the love of God has just been poured into us so much. We're not the same people we were when we walked in those doors.
Discover your calling. Go to kcbiblecollege.org and apply today.